Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, teens discover strange lights moving outside a bedroom window. A desperate parent prays to the devil to make their children behave, only to pay an extreme price. And an unexplained phone call terrifies a group of friends when they realize the impossibility of where it came from. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can call it 24/7 and share your ghost story with us. Just leave it right there. We may play it on a future episode. Write in if that's more your thing at realghoststoriesonline.com or email an audio file to me. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, if you want those EPP bonus episodes, you get the previews of on Thursdays, the full episode, sign up. Ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all 200 some of those. That's what really keeps our program alive and on the air. $5 a month is all it is. You get access to all the exclusive content and advanced content weeks before it goes public. Ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Sean joining you once again. Did you see the big news last night? And by the time this thing airs, it'll be a couple weeks old. But did you see the big news last night?
The huge, fantastic news that I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
The
absolutely.
Big,
I totally did.
Amazing news that I'm going to be insanely vague about. Are you aware? I don't know if when it came out, if it came out last night or sometime during the day. I don't know. Yesterday.
Oh no, I actually do know what you're going to talk about. Yes, I did.
What?
And I saw from you,
yeah.
your excitement.
and joy.
It enamored the internet through the social media, and I saw it, and I thought to myself, well, that makes me giddy. It probably makes Tony, well, a lot more than giddy.
I went and got
GB?
I got a pinata, and I threw myself a quinceañera. And the dog is wearing a sombrero. I don't know why we made it like a Mexican theme party, but it was great fun because it has nothing to do with what I'm about to talk about, but that just sounds like a fun day. On my birthday last year, I had a pinata. I just thought it would be fun anyway.
Well, and you put a blindfold on yourself
yeah.
and the dog.
Exactly. And then we both got sticks and it didn't end well. And now only one of us is alive today. Ghostbusters. Yeah, Ghostbusters. I was really shocked. The day prior, I had seen that there was a story that had come out about Ivan Reitman's son working on the movie. And that's all the article was. It was fairly serious. It wasn't like oh, this may happen, this may not happen. But I just thought, okay, well, maybe, you know, there's been rumblings for literally 30 years about this type of a reboot of the movie, not against the one that came out, but one that really follows the original storyline of Ghostbusters. And I remember like 20 years ago reading articles in the studio of WPKR radio in the middle of a cornfield in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, when there was some rumblings thinking, oh, maybe it'll happen sometime soon. 20 years later, it's coming, and a trailer was released the next day. So once you get the trailer, it's kind of like, all right, it's on. It's going to happen. And I was pretty happy about that.
Do you have a favorite Ghostbusters movie, or to some, there may only be one?
There's one and two, and then there's the one that came out a couple years ago, which was okay. I don't know. It's hard to put it in the Ghostbusters world. Honestly, I liked two better than one. And most people are going to say one, but two to me is the one I saw in the theater because I was old enough to see it in the theater. The first one, I would have been like two. But I saw that one in the theater. I remember it, and I just thought it was the most amazing thing. It was one of the first movies that really had a lot of digital graphics in it. It wasn't all stop motion animation. So at the time, that was pretty freaking amazing. Like, oh my God, look at the CGI, as they would call it, special effects. Now, I mean, it's a dime a dozen, but that back then, the Scolari brothers flying through a courtroom was pretty freaking cool. I would say 2 is my favorite. You?
I would agree in that. I think current day being able to watch, the original for more of a classic feeling, I think it's equally as great. But in the moment when it came out, Ghostbusters 2, and for me, in my lunch a couple days a week, it wasn't every day, but when I got High C Ecto Cooler as my beverage of choice in the cafeteria, I was living the dream.
Yeah, it was Ecto Cooler was quite a thing. In fact, Ecto Cooler came back a couple years ago when they did the reboot version of it with the women in it. I don't know if it's still on the shelves or if it was just kind of a limited time thing, but I'd imagine we're going to see some of that stuff come back. I had a ton of the action figures and the stuff to play with back in the day, and I wonder if any of that will come back. There wasn't quite the excitement for that stuff the last round, although I did buy the girls' proton packs when it came out.
I was going to say that, if it had something to do with a more so all-female cast opposed to the original Ghostbusters, and I don't believe so. I think that just when it initially came out, and then Ghostbusters 2, there was so much more of to your point of, with all the CGI and all the amazingness that the movie brought, that when the reboot came out, it just didn't have that gusto.
Yeah, it didn't. The special effects were not, not that special, I guess, so to speak, almost, 20 years later. And what I didn't like about the new one, and I thought the new one was an okay movie. So I just didn't feel like it was part of the real Ghostbusters world because it didn't follow the story. It wasn't part of that world. I mean, you had all the characters making interesting cameo appearances, but I would rather have them had made a cameo appearance as their character rather than some completely strange person that had nothing to do with the world. I think it's this is why I didn't like the movie that much, is because of it didn't follow the storyline, the continuity of it. So that's why I'm much more excited about this one. I could care less if it was all girls in the next one, as long as it followed the continuity of the story. But when you just reinvent the story, it takes something away.
Can currently get a 12-pack of aluminum can High C Ecto Cooler, $30 currently on eBay. So while we're listening to the first story here, I may be pressing submit with my credit card.
You enjoy that Ecto Cooler. My parents, over Christmas, because they bring all sorts of random shit they found in my closet as a child to my house on every holiday occasion that they can, they brought home to my house Coca-Cola bottles that were purchased in the during the 1996 Atlanta Summer Olympic Games as commemorative bottles. I don't know what I must have bought them, or somebody said those will be collector items someday. And so they're sitting on my counter, and I'm like, just for shits and giggles, let me eBay this and see what I find. Like, what are they going for? Other people's. They're like maybe $2 more than what you would have paid in 1996. So not
200% return on your invest.
Not even. I mean, $2 more than it was probably paid like $6 for them back then. They go for about $8 now, and then you got to get shipping in there. You probably take a loss if you actually try and sell them to someone. And there's just tons of them. So I tried opening one just to see what it tasted like 20 some years later. Coca-Cola, and? It doesn't hold up well in the bottle. And I took a sip, was like, yeah, and spit it out. It was pretty much a noise just like that. And then I proceeded to actually put them in the garbage because I wasn't going to store them for another 20 years in another closet, hoping that maybe by the time 2040 rolls around and my kids have their kids, I can bring them these ancient Coke bottles. They'll be like, oh, look, they're worth $10 now.
Did you get my lamp for the Christmas present? I ordered it online.
Still have not gotten a lamp from you that you owe me from about 15 years ago.
Well, you'll get it soon enough.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a real ghost story. It says, just found the podcast this week. I love it. You guys are doing a wonderful job. I listen to the podcast at work. It makes the work days go by faster. Anyways, I'd like to tell one of my experiences. When I was 18, which was quite a few years ago, I'll try to make this as short as possible. Back when I was in my first real relationship, my boyfriend's mother passed away suddenly at 38. It was a sad time. Anyways, after the funeral, my boyfriend and I were laying in the living room watching movies. The whole house was dark, except for the TV being on. A little while later, a blue light came on down the hallway from the living room. The bluish light was coming from my boyfriend's dad's bedroom. We looked at each other, kind of freaked out, knowing that there were no blue-colored lights in the house. My boyfriend, at the time, decided to go check it out. He was gone for what seemed like a couple of seconds. He ran back into the living room, got under the covers, shaking. I asked what's going on, and he said it was a bright bluish light, as big as a human. He couldn't tell really what it was, but it was bright blue, and it was this thing was huge. We knew the bluish light was getting closer because it was getting brighter. It was coming down the hallway into the living room. We pulled the covers over our heads, hiding and shaking next to the thing. The room was so bright from this bluish light, it was scary. I was shaking so bad I didn't know what was going on. And as quickly as it lit up the room, it was gone. The living room was dark again, except for the glow of the TV. I don't know how we fell asleep after that, but we did. The next morning, we all got up for breakfast. My boyfriend's dad started to tell us he had the weirdest dream last night, that his wife that just passed away came to him in the bedroom and told him to take care of her babies, that she was going to be just fine and he would be too. I was so shaken by his story. I believe she came back just to say goodbye and to give some motherly advice. That was 22 years ago, and I still remember it like it was yesterday. Thank you for letting me tell my experience. The show is great. You guys are doing an awesome job. I'll keep listening. I'd love to hear the stories because I believe there is something more. I guess there's a little bit of comfort there when you get the dream story from the dad to understand what it actually was that was moving through the house. And your mind doesn't wander to think of something nefarious.
Yeah, I'm very comforted by the story that dad brings up the next morning, or I think to this day I'm still ripping my hair out trying to figure out what in the heck that was.
Yeah, otherwise it could go a lot of directions, and it'd be horrible if he had like a nightmare or something then too on the same night. Like I dropped my wife, came back, and then I was being chased by the serial killer that they just caught the other day that hung himself in prison. It was like, oh shit, which one was that showed up? And then you don't really know for sure. There you go. 855-853-4802, our phone number to call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And of course, if you like the show, ghostpodcast.com. That's where you go to get all the bonus episodes and advanced episodes. Next letter says, my whole life I've been a magnet for paranormal activity. However, I never minded because I'm completely fascinated by it. I've seen it passed on by family members and shadow people, even lived in a house that had either poltergeist or demonic activity. These things that I have seen are not what this story is about. It happened decades before I was even born, but it might just be the reason why these things are drawn to me. It was the late 50s, early 60s. My grandma and my great aunt were teenagers, and from what I'm told, they were wild girls. They'd go out despite my great grandmother telling them no, get drunk, come home at all hours of the night. My great grandmother was a Catholic, but she had a tarot card and a Ouija board, even a crystal ball. She would invite young mothers to be to come to get their cards read. She'd even tell them what sex their babies would be. One night, my grandma and her sister, my great aunt, came home drunker than they had ever before. They ran through the house laughing, being very loud. My grandma was furious and urged them to stop. When they refused disrespectfully, my great grandmother couldn't stand it anymore. She dropped to her knees in front of them and began to pray to Satan himself to make her daughters behave. They were drunk, so all they did was laugh at her and tell her to go to bed. But she exclaimed that night they regret their behavior. They went to bed and fell asleep fast. It didn't last long. My great-grandfather had a stroke sometime before, so when he walked through the house, you could hear him thump and drag part of him walking. Anyway, my great-aunt woke up to that sound and a very loud thud dragging over and over. My aunt called out to him asking why he was out of bed, yet no one answered back, and the sound continued. My aunts again were facing the door. She was lying on her side. The noise stops right in front of their open door. My aunt felt paralyzed. She couldn't turn around to look at the door. She felt something enter the room, and the temperature dropped. She started to feel her nightgown start to be pulled up to her back and felt a great force strike her. Then she felt a burning sensation, but still wasn't able to move. After what felt like forever, she was able to roll around and jump out of bed to wake my grandma. They went to the bathroom together. They checked her back, and sure enough, there was a hoof print on her back, burned into her skin. While that was happening to her, my grandma was having nightmares of herself in hell. To this day, my great aunt had a scar of the hoof print to remind her of that night forever. The part of the stories that involve me is that she said to make her daughters behave, which can be applied to every generation of the girls after her. Well, that would really be an awkward moment when you're getting intimate with someone. Let's say you found the right one, and it's like, all right, it's time. What the hell is that hoof print burned onto your back?
Well, funny story. It was a Tuesday. It was late at night. There was alcohol involved. You know how that happens. Somebody just gets out the, what do they call it? Farmers, the cattle out in the, hell. Now, this was a good story. When they,
what are you trying to say?
The branding.
Branding,
or,
yes.
Or when they, yeah. And, well, that's what happened to me with just a hoof print. So let's turn the lights out and stop asking questions and have some fun.
Let's get jiggy with it. Yeah, I think it'd be easier to explain and probably a little more. I don't know. What story would you go with? That your family branded you with a tattle iron, or that mom prayed to Satan and this happened?
Really, potato, potato.
What's going to keep the continuity of the moment there? What's going to keep the mood going?
And you know, I'm going to go north of 70% that either way, the other part of this proposed engagement is out the door by the time you're done telling the story.
Yeah, I think that may have some issues, some repercussions with that one. But you got to have some story. I mean, I don't know. You were trampled by cattle with hot hooves.
I was in between jobs and I was rather bored.
Yeah.
So just, hey, I mean, why not? YOLO.
Yeah. That would be, yeah. And I can only imagine, it like every family gathering. It's like it's 4th of July. Everybody's having the macaroni salad, and they got 7-layer dip and taco dip and Bratz burgers. And they're all standing there having a great time. Hey, Auntie, can you show us that hoof scar again? I bet it comes up quite a bit at family gatherings, considering how open the family seems to be about this. But
I just want to get the correlation of with the daughters coming home drunk and mm-hmm. starting to pray. Where's the correlation of the hoof print? Did I miss something?
Well, it's just basically a sign that, well, you know, something interacted there. I don't know that it worked. I don't know that she got the daughters to behave by making this prayer. But it clearly invited something in, and that's the mark it made.
That makes a lot more sense, just thinking as far as if they came home in this wagon and there were horses out front and they came in. So it was just more of a to be on better behavior. Yeah, I'm sure that's always it at the Labor Day cookout. Diane showing the hoof print.
I think if I suddenly had a hoof print burned into my back after this, I would probably start behaving. I think that might be the sign, like, okay, I'm done doing all this shit. I'm good.
I get it.
Yep. Got it. Good. We're all good. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experience with us. It says, hey, guys, sorry I have trouble explaining a few things because I'm still jittery after talking to my friend Martin about a few of these events. He was skeptical for several years, often asking his older brother for confirmation about some strange things that happened to him over the years. His older brother is a cop, a straightforward, no BS kind of guy. It was about 8 years ago when Martin went to party with his friend. They were drinking and allowed to spend the night, but had to be quiet in the house because their friend's parents said it would be all right for them to sleep over. When everyone was getting ready for bed, the phone rang. For some reason, the call was from Martin. He answered and was in disbelief, then kept to himself in the living room. He basically said the conversation began when he heard the voice, which he thought was a prank his friends were doing, but he recalls the conversation ended like this. You're joking with me. Who really is this? The only thing he recalls the most is just describing the voice was a creepy elderly woman. The last thing she did was tell him, "I know where you are." This was in Massachusetts, so after the call ended, he ended up calling the phone company and asked them to trace the call because it was very suspicious. The operator gave him the information of the number, which is in Dayton, Florida. And needless to say, he didn't get any sleep that night. He tried to think rationally about who called him and decided it was a better idea to call his brother when he got home. Here's where he became very scared when he got home. His brother left him a message telling him to call him right away because he had just had an odd phone call, wanted to tell him about it. Called him right away, but had a good idea that his brother received the same call. Right before his brother could say anything, "You got the call too, didn't you?" he said. His brother was working and in his squad car when he got the odd call. They said it was very similar, where the creepy lady basically told them they knew where they were, but not the exact conversation, because their first thought was someone might have played a recording to them. Obviously, they wanted to verify a few things, but they knew there was no way to file a report because nobody would believe them. So his brother called the police department in Florida. They wanted to verify the number just to be sure it wasn't someone playing a joke. The number was a house phone, but under a different name. The address for the house phone was where their mother lived, and also the place where the mother died. The mother had a terrible life. She was hooked on drugs, had several problems with the law, and lost custody of her children, so they had to move to Massachusetts to live with their aunt. They were under the impression that she may have faked her death, but the police department was able to verify that their mother was in fact deceased. The police department really didn't know what to do, so no report was filed. They basically decided to pretend that nothing had ever happened. His brother was scared because the phone he used was specifically for work. Not even Martin or his aunt had the number because it wasn't for personal use. Martin was scared because he was at a friend's house and not only didn't tell anyone where he was going, but nobody expected them to spend the night there. There was no way anyone would have rationally called them knowing where they were, especially a random older lady. Martin thought to himself for several years that his brother played a horrible trick on him because that would be the only rational explanation. Years later, his brother randomly said, "Martin, I don't know how you got my number or how you found someone who sounded like Mom, but that scared the living shit out of me." Since then, Martin mentioned that he was called again but hung up the phone. His brother tried to record the call, but the person calling hung up before anything could be recorded. To this day, they think it would be impossible for someone to plan a prank so elaborate, knowing where they were, finding the number, then calling from the exact house their mother lived in. Thanks for reading. I love the show. Take care. I doubt I'll get much sleep tonight. So there's an experience that, although it defies logic, it defies anything where you're going to actually find an explanation for. You know, it's so out there, you still want to find some sort of reason. How did this happen? Because it is such a scary thought. Why do you think she would call and just say that? "I know where you are." It's such an ominous thing to say to someone.
I initially thought that she was just kind of calling to check in to say hello. Then you went on to say that she lived a troubled life on drugs. That's a very mean thing to do to one's son after you have passed on. And it's so interesting, a mother to do this, maybe an old friend or a prankster, possibly someone that didn't like this individual. But to correlate it to current day in the world of cell phones, and how we really don't remember people's phone numbers. It's just the contact. And when you call, it says Tony. If you had to ask me your phone number, I think there's a 2. So if you were to get a phone call from someone, for example, your dad passes on, your mom passes on, and you look at your phone, you get a phone, it says Mom, it says Dad. That is how I could, that just absolute goosebumps, bone chilling, holy fuck, do I answer this? I don't even think there is a reason, and I hope that this person somehow comes to comfort and just get some closure themselves, because I don't see any rational or even irrational reason that a mom would come back and do that and be almost vindictive.
Yeah.
It's one thing if she was, you know, nice in the call, but it didn't sound too comforting.
The only thing I could come up with on that is, you know, sometimes addicts or something, they don't understand how they're coming across. They're completely oblivious to how others are perceiving them. Is she still in that mindset on the other side? And was she trying to call them and let them know she's watching out for them? But it just came across, and the way she expressed it was, "I know where you are," rather than, "I'm watching out for you on the other side." But it's just, "I know where you are." You know, you're like, holy
shit.
It's
not what you say. Yeah. It's how you say it. Actually, Mom, in this case, it is what you said, because it sounds like you're going to come and kill me.
Exactly. And then, like, once it's done, it's like, "Oh, I didn't mean it for them to understand it like that. Fuck you." Let me take another hit. I think hit from the ghostly crack pipe. But, that's the only, like, weird explanation I could get, because it doesn't seem like anything else happened other than these pieces of communication. Just, you know, could someone be that deluded in their thinking as how they're coming across, that they're still communicating horribly on the other side? It's not like suddenly you're dead and now you have magical, new, better communication abilities.
As irrational as it sounds to try to assess a deceased drug addict that is on a on a high of a narcotic, you know, when dead, that's quite honestly the most rational thought of however they lived on Earth. Oh. They may continue after, and she actually may have been just checking in, but was a bit out there on some...
Oh.
Some little, drugs.
Little strung out on the other side. Yeah. 855-853-4802, our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
My story is when I was 20 years old, I was in a motorcycle accident, and I was an alcoholic back then, and I was in the hospital for 3 months. My mom told me I could move back home as long as I quit drinking. All right, I moved back home. I didn't have nowhere to go anyway, so I moved back home, and I'm in the house, and it's late August. The days are like 85, 90 degrees, and the nights are just starting to cool off just a little bit. It's almost September. One night I was in there in my bed, and I was thinking that day how I was going to get beer in the house. I was going to bring it up from a roof out the window. And, but anyway, I went to bed that night, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was with my girlfriend. She was living with me there. 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and the room, my bedroom, was so cold that you could see your breath. Okay. That's how, it was like New York City in January, and it was late August. The days were 80 degrees, and the nights, they were still, it was still warm out. And I couldn't figure it out. And then all of a sudden, the room filled up with the smell of dead, rotten flesh. Like there was 100 dead animals in my room. Now my room is freezing cold. I'm blowing frost out my breath. Okay. And room, the smell was unbelievable. So I'm nudging my girlfriend, and she won't wake up. So I didn't know what to do. And I said, "What the heck is this? This never happened to me before." But I started saying the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." I said that prayer about 5 or 6 times, and then all of a sudden, the room warmed up, and the smell went away within seconds. And I was like, "Man, I was like, that was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me." I just couldn't explain it. So I went to sleep, and the next morning I woke up. I never drank after that. I never had a craving. I believe God was there. And he took that alcohol, because I was a drunk, just a out-and-out alcoholic drunk when I was in my younger days. And after that night, I'd never had a craving to drink, and I've been sober now for 40 years. I'll be 60 years old in September, and this happened to me when I was like 20 years old. But that's my story, and it's a true story. And this is what happened to me, and I can't explain it. And this is God's intervention for me for drinking, because I know if I would have kept drinking, I would have been dead. And whatever was in my room, I believe it was evil. And when I started saying the Lord's Prayer, I believe that evil left my body. Or whatever it was, it left me. And like I said, it changed my life so much. I mean, from from going to nothing to having houses and cars, and you know, being able to buy stuff is totally incredible. I just can't explain it. But anyway, you have a good night, and I got another one. I'll tell you at another time. I'm just kind of freaking out here right now. Not freaking out, but it's just weird. It's just something you just cannot explain. It's just something you cannot explain. Why did my room get like I could see my breath? That's how cold it was, and the smell. I know you never mistaken the smell of dead rotting flesh. So, and it was like there was 100. I cannot explain this, and to this day I cannot explain it. But the only good outcome of this is I quit drinking. And you have a great night, and you can print this. It's a true story. My name is Ron Miller. I live in.
Okay, we don't need your address, Ron, but thank you. My social security number is. But you know, it makes you wonder with a situation like that. It seems scary. You know, it's suddenly cold. He's smelling rotting flesh. It's just this horrific thing. Is it more so like the ghost of Maury Povich coming and doing a scared straight thing on him? Remember when Maury would do those like, we're going to take all these juvenile delinquents to the jail and scare them straight. You know, was this, but it was for good. It was a scary situation, but it was meant with good intent. It was meant to get you out of whatever negative pattern of whatever you're doing. So it makes you wonder, what was this something good that actually visited him, but had to present itself as very scary and very evil in order to get the desired results?
I would agree wholeheartedly. I think whether God was a big fan of Maury, Montel Williams, an assortment of others, but that was put into play long before. And my strong opinion on it is he was going down a road not good. Yeah. Being an alcoholic, and God forbid he got behind the wheel and would take another person or another person's lives. So I believe that this was with the strong scent of death and the temperature change. I believe this was so here's the deal, brother.
Yeah.
This essentially is going to be the life of you in the future with you killing yourself. Or I really think that this was another person's life that you're going to take. So we're going to scare the fuck out of you. Yeah. And the Coors Light out of you, and never have it enter you ever again, because this is something that you're taking as evil and scary and all bad. But to your point of good, and I think that was I don't know who would have come up with this. I don't know if he had somebody that recently passed on that knew that he was having some troubles and addictions to alcohol and such, that maybe made an email to God and said, so what do you think about this?
Yeah,
let's put this together for him. Or just, you know, somebody from the other side, somebody's from the other side that put that into play. But that would be, and it clearly worked. Yeah. Said he didn't have a drip of alcohol since.
Yeah, very interesting story. I recently used Roku for our TV, and this is not an advertisement or anything, but that's what we have for our
Roku. Amazing, over 65 channels and more.
No, it's a you know, it's like Amazon Fire Stick or Google.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
My dad told me. Yeah.
So it's just kind of an operating system, but they have some of their own channels now, and one of them that popped up the other day is this app that only has old talk shows on it. Everything from Sally Jesse Raphael with the giant red glasses to Geraldo to Springer. They're all there in their glory of 1984 or whatever year you want. They're there. And I was watching some and I was just like, this is awesome. Like, this is so much better than anything that's on television today.
And so in this totally testimonial, I'm going to give you three. And if all three or a varying of three are on this show, I'm going to get Roku after we're done with this show. Donahue?
Yes.
Ricky Lake?
Yes.
Jenny Jones?
I don't know the answer to that one. I didn't look for Jenny Jones, but judging by everything else that is up there, probably.
Two of three, I am on the horn the second we get done recording.
It's just all up there. Everything you want to see and everything that you didn't want to see back then, it's all there for your enjoyment. Again, not an app. You can probably get the app on other platforms as well, I'm guessing. But I just found it on that one the other day and thought,
what
holy
I'm excited
shit.
For people to take or to reach you through becoming an EPP or however they do, is to take kind of a poll with people listening to the show that have a love for the paranormal as well as talk shows from 1985 to 1994. I think there's nine of us. We're two here, right here. So there are seven other people in the world that have such random loves.
And that's why we're making a personal connection with them right this second. So there you go. That wraps up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person, ghostpodcast.com to do just that and keep our show on the air. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.